Thankful for the presence of each and every one here this evening, and I would encourage you to have an open mind and an open Bible to follow along closely with the things that we intend to look at this evening. Truly, it is God's Word and only God's Word that is His power unto salvation. It's not the wisdom of men, it's not my think-sos, it's what the Scriptures proclaim unto us. In a previous lesson, we had studied the truth that Christianity is indeed an uncompromising religion. And as we noted in that lesson, it's not because of man, it is because of God. And the very nature of truth. Truth exposes errors, it exposes lies, the deceits of Satan and his servants. And as Christians, we need to take an uncompromising stand for the truth. And I appreciated the song, Onward Christian Soldiers. That's what we are in this world in which we live. We're soldiers of Christ. One such individual was the Apostle Paul. And I would have us to note then that which is written in Acts chapter 24, beginning at verse 24. Acts chapter 24, beginning at verse 24. It is written, "And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul, and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, 'Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee.'" Paul reasoned. He reasoned from the Scriptures. We need to be prepared to reason with our family, our friends, our neighbors, whoever we come into contact in this world who's lost in sin or in religious error. And that necessitates a working knowledge of the truth. Along with this is that which is written in 1 Peter chapter 3 at verse 15. 1 Peter chapter 3 at verse 15. It is written, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear," to have a proper attitude, to be ready to defend the faith that we hold so dear, our faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to be able to reason from the Scriptures. While we were visiting our daughter in South Carolina, this was just over a year ago, before she came to live with us in Idaho, I had the opportunity of visiting some of the members of the congregation there in Camden, where we were for a couple of years, that I wasn't able to see on the Sunday service that we were there. One of the members, Kenny Owen, he and I would go out to different people that had been shut in who were sick while the time that I lived there, and also engage in Bible studies. And so after services, I asked him if he would please drive me around once again, and of course, he readily agreed. During one of our visits, it was to a lady who had been sick, Kenny related an opportunity that he had of talking with a Baptist preacher and a couple of the members of the congregation that that preacher preached for, one of whom owned a bait and tackle store, where this conversation took place. Kenny knew them, they knew Kenny. So it really wasn't a surprise to them when Kenny started talking about religion, about spiritual matters. His line of reasoning is in essence the outline of this study this evening. And what I've done is I've taken the questions that he posed to these men, and of course during the conversation that he's relating this to us, he said he used Scriptures. He never said which Scriptures that he used with these men, so I've used those Scriptures that I thought would be appropriate concerning the questions that he asked. But his line of reasoning, I believe it's profitable for us to learn from others, obviously most importantly from Jesus, how he reasoned with those that he encountered. The apostles, Paul, Peter, how they reasoned with the Scriptures to try to get people to see the truth of where they stood in relation to God, such as Felix. Obviously, the reasoning touched him. He trembled with fear. The problem was he didn't just do anything with it. And so often in this world in which we live, there are those souls that will do nothing with the truth that we present. But we have a responsibility to the best of our ability to present the gospel, to do so in a proper attitude, and of course using God's word to be able to give an answer. So, I would have you then to consider Kenny's line of reasoning in endeavoring to get these men to see the truth. And he began with this. Does it matter what you believe? For a few moments, these men were silent, including the preacher. So then Kenny related to us, those that he was talking to about this, that he brought to their attention certain scriptures. And as I said, he didn't tell us which scriptures, but these are the ones that I thought of. Jesus said, it does matter what you believe. In the Gospel of John, chapter 8, drop down beginning at verse 21. John, chapter 8, beginning at verse 21, it is written, then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he saith, whither I go, ye cannot come. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am, ye shall die in your sins. Jesus proclaims, indeed, it does matter what you believe. The Apostle Paul, he also proclaims such. Turn to the book of Romans, chapter 10. We want to begin reading at verse 1. Romans, chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. It is written, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And earlier in this same letter in chapter 1, Paul had proclaimed that he wasn't ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Therein is God's righteousness, his righteousness revealed unto us. And there are many souls in this world today who indeed are zealous for God, but they lack knowledge. Well, it's through the knowledge of God's Word that faith comes. And indeed, it does matter what one believes. And dropping down beginning at verse 8, it is written, but what saith it? The Word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is, the Word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It is essential in order to gain the proper faith that one hears the proper gospel. The only gospel. The faith. So, after Kenny had presented some scriptures to them, one of the members answered, yes, it does matter what one believes. The Baptist preacher, however, he remains silent. Then Kenny asked them this. Does it matter what you teach? Again, no one spoke up, including the preacher. So, once again, Kenny referred to some scriptures. And again, he didn't say which ones. But these are the ones that I thought of. Jesus said, it does matter what you teach. Turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15, beginning at verse 1. Matthew, chapter 15, beginning at verse 1. It is written, then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why did thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, but whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth the man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth the man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. It does matter what one teaches, because it matters what one hears, because it matters what one believes. Jesus is affirming this truth. Yes, it does matter. In the same gospel, in chapter 16, drop down beginning at verse 5. Here it is written, and when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets ye took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets ye took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees, the teaching. Because false teaching will lead one straight into hell. And unfortunately, in this world in which we live, there are many that are on their path, on that path, and they don't even know it. Yes, it matters what one teaches. Jesus said it does, and so did the Apostle Paul. Turn to the book of Galatians, chapter 1. We're going to begin reading at verse 6. Galatians, chapter 1, beginning at verse 6. It is written, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I shall not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but the revelation of Jesus Christ. Well, obviously in this letter it mattered what one was being taught. Here was a number of disciples being led away from the faith because of false teaching. It truly matters what is taught. And then further, Paul, in writing unto Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning at verse 1, commanded him, in essence, to preach one thing, the Word, the Gospel, the faith. 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning at verse 1, it is written, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, they shall heap themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Well, there's multitudes in this world today that are turned unto fables. And there's multitudes, they have no love for sound doctrine. But does it matter what is taught? Well, one of the men that Kenny was talking to proclaimed, indeed, it does. It does matter what one teaches. So then Kenny, continuing in his line of reasoning, asked them this question. Does it matter how you live your life? Well, while these men sat in complete silence, Kenny brought forth some more scriptures. These are the ones that I thought of. Jesus said, yes, it matters how you live your life. Turn to Matthew chapter 23. In Matthew chapter 23, dropping down beginning at verse 23, it is written, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity." Yeah, it matters how one lives their life. The Christian is going to endeavor to live his life by the teachings of Jesus Christ. And unfortunately, in this world in which we live, there are many who, while claiming the name of Christ, are living a life that's contrary to His Word and His will. And because of that, there are others that absolutely will turn away from the gospel, from religion, because of the hypocrisy that they see. Jesus said, yes, it matters how you live your life. Consider the parable of the sower in the Gospel of Luke chapter 8. We want to begin reading at verse 11. Luke chapter 8, beginning at verse 11. It is written, "Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth, and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, cover with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be made known and come abroad. Take heed therefore how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have." God expects His children to produce fruit. That fruit is manifested. It is produced in a manner of life, the life that we live. There are those who hear the gospel, obey it, and shortly, for whatever reason, fall away. They don't put into practice the teachings of Christ, and thus truly are not armed to fight off the wiles, the devices of Satan, or the things that we encounter in this world. Yeah, it matters how one lives their life. Jesus said it does, and so did the apostle. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning at verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning at verse 9. It is written, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." How much more clear could God make it? How much more clear could He make it and proclaim unto us, it matters how you live your life? And there were many there in Corinth. They were living a life that was leading them straight into hell. But they heard the gospel and their life was changed. As it is written in verse 11, "And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." It does matter how we live our life. And again, it is written in the book of Galatians. And we noted this last night in our study. In Galatians chapter 5, beginning of verse 16, Galatians chapter 5, beginning of verse 16, it is written, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest." They're clear to be seen, plain to be seen. Well, they are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, or self-control. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. To be guided by the teachings that the Holy Spirit inspired the apostles to proclaim to those lost in sin. To live a different life. In the end, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Well, after some reflection, while the preacher again remained silent, one of the members said, "Yeah, it does matter how one lives their life." Now, before I proceed further, I want you to keep in mind this truth concerning some of the Baptist churches back there in South Carolina, and I'm sure across the United States, though certainly not all of the Baptist denominations would adhere to such. But there is the belief that the church is simply not important. And I encountered this firsthand there in South Carolina. I had a husband and wife come to my door one day. They wanted to talk to me about religious matters, and I was more than welcome, more than willing to want to do that. And in our discussion, the church came up, and I simply asked them, "Do you have to be in the Baptist church to be saved?" And they were emphatic, and they said, "No, you do not have to be in the Baptist church to be saved." And I said, "You know, that's interesting. Because from my study of the Scriptures, the church is absolutely essential to one's salvation." But they kept affirming that, no, it's not. So, I want you to keep that in mind. Now, following all of this, Kenny, who knew where he had been heading the whole time, asked them very simply and pointedly this question: "Does it matter which church you belong to?" Alas, before, the preacher remained silent. But one of the men immediately replied, "No, it doesn't matter which church you belong to." Kenny, he was expecting that, because he knew these men. He knew the Baptist doctrine. He grew up in that area. A lot of his friends were Baptists, and he knew this. His line of reasoning then continued with this: "There are many churches who claim that it doesn't matter what you believe. just so long as you believe in Jesus. He then said, there are many churches who say that it really does not matter what you teach, just so long as you're teaching the love of God, the love of Jesus Christ. And there are those churches which endorse the homosexual lifestyle as an example and teach that it doesn't really matter how you live your life, just so long as you believe in Jesus. Now, he asked, would you want to be a part of a church like that? Do you think that they will be saved? The men, including the Baptist preacher, remained absolutely silent. That's what Kenny was telling this sister in Christ and myself. Not a one of them said a word. So then Kenny said, and there are some churches that teach that the church itself is not important to one's salvation and that it doesn't matter which church you belong to. It doesn't matter. Jesus said, it does. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 16, beginning at verse 18. In Matthew chapter 16, beginning at verse 18, it is written, and I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell are the gates of Hades. Death shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Jesus affirms that he was going to build his church. If the church is not that important, why would he come into this world and make this declaration here? Of what purpose would have served Jesus to tell Peter that upon his confession that he indeed is the Christ, he would build his church if the church simply isn't that important? The church indeed is important. In the Gospel of John, while Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus, we read this in chapter 3, beginning at verse 3. John chapter 3, beginning at verse 3. It is written, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. What's interesting is that which Paul proclaimed in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, in relation to the church, as well as another scripture that goes along with what we've just read here in John. And first, in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, where Paul is speaking to the elders of Ephesus, it is written, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Jesus shed his blood for the remission of our sins. The scriptures clearly teach that in order for a soul to receive the remission of sins, he must be baptized. Into what element? That which Jesus taught Nicodemus. Water. Not that the water washes away one's sins. That's simply the element God had chosen. When one is baptized in water, they're baptized into the death of Jesus Christ. He shed his blood in his death. And when one is baptized into his death, one is baptized into the one body, which is the church. Thus, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 at verse 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 at verse 13, it is written, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, whether bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. One Spirit. Do you remember what Jesus told Nicodemus there in John chapter 3? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. The teachings that the Holy Spirit delivered unto the apostles, by which a soul, when rendering obedience thereto, can become a member of the body of Christ. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. With His precious blood, He purchased the church. And it is sad to think that there are souls who teach and who follow such a teaching that the church is simply not important. It's absolutely essential to one's salvation. And there's only one. One. Turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, beginning at verse 4. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 4. It is written, there is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. There's only one. Just one. Does it matter then concerning which church you belong to? If you do not belong to the Lord's church, you're heading to eternal damnation. It matters. And again, in this same letter, in chapter 5, we find the importance of the church beginning at verse 23. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 23, it is written, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, or for her, so that He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that He might present her to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Too often in this world in which we live, people don't understand church, what it is. It is simply the saved. And the Lord added the saved to His body. The church. Yes, it does matter. Now, after Kenny had finished, the preacher and every single man there, obviously except for the owner of the bait and tackle shop, got up and left without saying another word. That's what Kenny related to us. His line of reasoning was forceful, true to the Scriptures. They got up and left without saying another word. If the Baptist preacher truly believed in Baptist doctrine, why didn't he say anything? That was something that I asked Kenny. Well, obviously, Kenny didn't have an answer for that. He never once spoke up. Some of his own members did, and correctly so, except when it came to the church. Well, there are many in the denominational realm, even amongst their teachers and preachers, who simply cannot answer truth being presented in such a logical manner. They can't refute the reasoning that a man puts forth from the Scriptures. And how sad it is that there are souls who, while having a zeal of God, are not willing to accept the Scriptures, nor the consequences that might come from accepting the Scriptures, such as that Baptist preacher. Accepting the truth and having to realize that this isn't true. And I need to stop preaching this doctrine and begin preaching the doctrine of Christ, and more than likely losing his livelihood. There are sacrifices that many simply aren't willing to make. And in that sense, Christianity truly is an uncompromising religion. When Kenny talked about them just simply walking away, I was reminded of the following verses. I want you to turn back to the Gospel of John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Now, I would encourage you to study the context of these verses and of all the verses that we've studied here. But dropping down beginning at verse 60, it is written, "Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, 'This is an hard saying. Who can hear it? This is a difficult teaching. Who can understand this? Who can accept this?' When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, 'Doth this offend you? And if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not.'" Now, he's speaking to his disciples. They're following him. "But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, 'Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father.' From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." His teachings were too difficult. Perhaps too many sacrifices they had to make. And it's no different today. There are those souls who hear the gospel and realize the sacrifices, the changes that they have to make in their life, and they're not willing to do that. They simply walk away. I thought of this also in the book of Acts, chapter 13. In Acts chapter 13, we find the apostles proclaiming the gospel of Christ. And dropping down, beginning at verse 44, it is written, "And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, 'It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles.'" There are many today who judge themselves unworthy of everlasting life by turning away from the gospel of Christ. The words of eternal life. That's sad. But the opposite is so glorious, if you will. So joyous. Here in this same chapter, going back to verse 42, it is written, "And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God." What a wonderful thing it is to meet a soul lost in sin or religious error, and they come to a knowledge of the truth. And they accept it. Humbly accept it. They humble themselves in obedience to the gospel. Truly repenting, turning away from the course of this world, being baptized for the remission of their sins, raised to walk in newness of life. And go back to John chapter 6. After those disciples had walked away, we note these verses. John chapter 6. We pick up at verse 67, it is written, "Then said Jesus unto the 12, 'Will ye also go away?' And Simon Peter answered, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God.'" Indeed, who are we going to go to? As it concerns eternal life, where can we possibly go outside of Christ and the Bible and know that we're going to receive eternal life? Peter was right. To whom shall we go? Now, here's a series of questions that goes along with Kenny's line of reasoning that you and I need to ask ourselves. Does it matter to you what you believe? Prayerfully, it does matter. It really matters to you what you believe. Does it matter to you what is taught? Members of a congregation, your desire ought to be, I want to hear the truth. That's what I need in my life. That's what I need to make corrections in my life. That's what I need to fortify my faith. my belief, my trust in Jesus. Yes, it should matter to me what is taught. Does it matter to you how you live your life? It should matter. If you want to go to heaven, it will matter. And does it matter to you which church you belong to? There's a multitude of denominations in this world, but there's only one church. One. When we moved our daughter Elizabeth to Corvallis, Oregon, just a couple weeks ago, I had to go in and talk to the manager of the apartment complex that she was at. And for just the short time that I was there, we had a very, very short religious discussion. And they had to do a background check on me and a credit check. And of course, it's running right up there on the computer in front of me, and it says, preacher. And she goes, that's right, you're a preacher. Which denomination? I said, I'm not a preacher of a denomination. I'm a preacher of the church that you can read about in God's Word, the Church of Christ. And the individual, her husband, sitting over there, he goes, well, you know, it really doesn't matter which church you belong to because there's only one God. And I said, you're absolutely true about one God. And as there is only one God, there is only one church. He didn't say another word to me. Not one other word. Not one. Indeed, there is only one God. And there is only one church. So, does it matter to you what you believe? Because it's going to go right to that bottom question of the church you belong to. If you believe in Jesus, more importantly, you believe Jesus, then you would allow Him to add you to His body. Does it matter what is taught? Well, only the faith, the gospel of Christ, is going to put you, in a sense, in the one body. By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Does it matter how you live your life? We're going to be judged for the actions, our lives, our words, the things that we do and the things that we fail to do. It matters. And yes, it matters which church you belong to. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 at verse 15, 1 Timothy chapter 3 at verse 15, it is written, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth, to know how we need to behave ourselves in the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to be citizens in His kingdom. Yep, it matters to Jesus. And that is the truth that is as uncompromising as the cross of Christ. It matters to Him. It matters so much to Him that He came into this world filled with sinners and willingly went to that cross to die for us, that we might be a part of His family, His kingdom, and that in the end of time we might be presented unto Him as a glorious bride, if you will. What a wonderful thing that is, and a promise that we have of God. And thus we end with this scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 2 at verse 15. It is written, study, or to be diligent, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing or handling aright the word of truth. To be diligent. It matters what we believe. It matters what is taught and what we teach others. It matters how we live our lives. And it matters which church we belong to. Are you a member of the Lord's church? Have you been baptized into the body of Christ? Are you a Christian? Well, if not, why not become one this evening by simple obedience to the gospel? Not just believing in Jesus, but believing Jesus. The willingness to turn away from the course, the broad way that leads to destruction, to follow the narrow way, that which is as narrow as the word we've been preaching from this evening. To be willing to confess Him not only with the mouth, but with your life. To live a life that's important, that has meaning, one that glorifies the Father in heaven. To be baptized for the remission of sins, raised to walk in that newness of life. A member of the Church of Christ. That which belongs to Him and only Him. To be a part of the body of Christ that is truly subject unto Him. If you're not a part of the body of Christ, then why not do that this day? If you understand what you need to do, then we would encourage you to obey the gospel this evening. And if you don't, we would sincerely enjoy opening the scriptures with you. And if you have obeyed the gospel and you've fallen away, you need to repent, to come back to that narrow way, to have it really matter to you how you live.